beginning.
We are at the beginning. Welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Whiskey Tip Duncan, now known as Tipsy, apparently, and Mike, Tupids / Whiskey Wings. Welcome. You all right, Mike?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Not as good as you, though, in your Christmas Maker's Mark jumper.
Well, I thought I'd get slightly festive where we are in the season. It's approaching rapidly, and I can't believe that it's already the we're well into December, and I've got no Christmas presents sorted.
We're more than halfway towards Christmas. Because
more than
Christmas
halfway.
Day is on the 25th, and it's already like the 14th or something, or the 13th.
Yeah, something like
12th.
That.
It's the 12th, 12th. Day, I think.
12th. We're recording on the 12th. But
okay, we're recording on the 12th, yeah.
So, yeah, I've got one Christmas present, so I do lie. So, yeah, it's...
Which you bought for yourself, obviously.
Yeah. it's called a Siren Bay, 18-year-old whiskey.
That Siren Bay is an absolute top-draw bargain.
Top-draw Talisker. It was sold out now.
Done. Thank you so much, Master of Malt. It's on another website for like 170 quid. Those people are chances, but at £55 in the Black Friday sale / Cyber Monday, whatever it was, / extended sale till the end of days, so until it sold out. Basically.
Whiskey Wednesday.
Yeah.
Topless Thursday. It's just, it's one of those sales.
Freaky Friday. Yeah, it was all good.
Yeah.
So two bottles. I've got half a bottle gone of one, and I already regret not having bought a third. So,
well, I picked up two. I've opened one. I've probably done a fifth of it, I'd say, in a few days, and going, oh, this is nice. And I've got another bottle now just looking at me from the side of the counter because it was for my father-in-law. I said to Lara,
it's too good for your father-in-law.
I'm not sure if he likes smoky stuff, you know. He might not like that.
Give him something non-peated just to be safe.
Yeah, just a bottle of Bells.
Yeah. Give him bottle of Talisker 10 will be fine.
Maybe I'll buy him a decanter and then make him a custom blend, aka the cheap man's way of keeping your whiskey that I bought you.
It really was excellent on the nose, though, wasn't it? That
good.
It's like just incredible the nose between the vanilla and like the germanine. And
I loved it, mate. Everything about that whole bottle is lampable. It is even the labels, Art Deco. I'm like, yes.
I know. And it was just knocking, even at 75 quid, it was probably great value, but everyone's just overlooking it.
Yeah.
You know,
I have messaged people from within that world at Atom going, just say yes. I know it's a Talisker. Just satisfy me. And they're all just laughing at me and they won't confirm it. But
it tasted like a Talisker to me. So, I mean, as soon as I had it, I was like, this is really Talisker.
Tally ho!
Put it on the telly. So, what's been in your glass then? What's been up your arse last few days?
What's been in my glass? So I did some sort of sample swaps with Simon, the whiskey novice, and he was kind enough to send me 5 hefty old drams out, like big old samples. So I sent him like 8 small ones back. So I think mine look more impressive, but he might have actually sent me more whiskey.
It looks like you both sent each other loads of whiskey, like a van load.
Santa came early and he came into sample bottles. He sent me a Springbank. I think I'm gonna say it again. Sauterne cask. Is that right? Sauternes. Yeah.
So turn around.
Sold out. It's 14 years old. Warehouse number 5. Just stunning dram. Like, I didn't know what it was, and I genuinely like, this is amazing. Please tell me this is something young and cheap. And he went, nope, it's a sold out Springbank. I was like, but yeah, so that's been in my glass, as long as some other samples that he sent me, some interesting ones. And yeah, what's been up my ass? It seems like at the moment, time is flying by so fast. Nothing has time to actually annoy or get on my nerves or make me happy between recording pods at present.
Right.
I think it's weird. Like, I think I'm blaming Isla, obviously, because sleep exhaustion just makes the day go. Like, the morning,
you can't even remember if something was annoying you, basically. That's what you're saying. It could have been annoying you, but you don't even remember because you're just a wee bit too tired.
Could have been the most annoying thing in the world. I haven't had anyone giving me shit on social media this week. So, yeah, I mean, I'm genuinely in a reasonably happy place of not knowing what's going on in the world. I'm in my own little bubble.
It's all just going slightly over your head.
Yeah.
You whiskey influencer, you.
I'm just coasting. How about you? What is in your glass and no doubtably been up your ass? Undoubtedly.
Well, I had an outrageous hangover on Saturday. Oh. Basically, right off most of the day and got in loads of trouble.
Did you get too tipsy?
Stayed up really far too late with a friend. We went out to like a wine bar and then we stayed out for a bit.
Oh, did you go posh and just be like, right, yeah, we could handle at least two bottles of red each?
I don't know. We went wine bar and then afterwards we went to a pub and had some Guinness and then we sort of ended up coming back and then we sort of carried on. So drink responsibly, folks. Don't do what we did. We had a good laugh catching up, but it's just not worth the hangover the next day. I was just so tired. I was like crippling
tired.
Mate.
I hate to break this to you, but I was too old. Awful. I only have to if I look at anything other than a whiskey, mate, I'm done.
Hangover. I much prefer just drinking whiskey. I don't mind having like one pint of beer. We've said this before, but this wine, it was really good wine, so I was very much enjoying it. But just
Hit me with a swanky London wine bar cost.
Well, it's a local one.
Make this Welshman cringe.
No, they're really good. They're called Degustation Wines. They do some good stuff by the glass. It's excellent. You know,
it's a wine shop. You can go in and
drink. A wine shop. It's a local.
Oh, I like that. I love that.
Yeah, that's a really good place. It's not swanky inside. But it's a wine shop that you can go in and you can buy wine.
So you're not paying
by the bottle.
Over the odds. You're paying a little bit more, but not like, you're paying a premium, but not stupid.
When they get good stuff in, what I was saying was annoying me was just how tired / hungover I was the next day. I hate it when you write a day off, especially a weekend day.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, yeah.
No
was
Sunday fun day for you?
No, well, we had a lot of traveling to on Sunday, so spent a lot of time in the car. Right.
Ah, dear, what, head out the window.
And other than that, probably the neighbours probably getting on my nerves a bit. So.
Oh! Go on, I love a bit of goss. What's happening?
Just they are a little bit wily. So let's say, for example, maybe there was like a leak, and maybe that leak they said they fixed. Maybe they might have taken some sort of buildings insurance money to do that when they maybe shouldn't have done, and they actually got it fixed. Yeah.
Neighbors upstairs then.
No, they're actually downstairs, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's not actually leaking on us, but like it's still a leak, right?
Yeah,
So like, and you know, water runs to the lowest point. So the water run, you can see it runs to the lowest point and then it'll get into like the brickwork in the main building. And they'll be there going, I remember them going, oh, where's that mold? Where's that damp coming from? It's coming from your leak. That's where it's coming from. Over time, like over years, it's coming from your leak.
So what we've established is that they are responsible for Leo getting covered in mud now. On the daily basis.
That's their fault, yeah.
Because he walked out the house and he's swimming. Yeah. You're in my world.
If it would stop raining, that would be welcomed as well. Literally, it was like every day I walk outside now, it's just wet all the time. So
I cannot wait for like crisp winter, dry, bright.
When's that going to come?
It's going to be like March or February, isn't it? Knowing the way it's going at the moment. Maybe
anyway.
April.
So what's been in my glass, other than wine, is not so much really, but now we're both getting into Glenmurray, right? Into the Twisted Vine and the new one, the Phoenix Rising, and a couple of new Warehouse One casks. The Rioja cask matured and heated Rioja.
Yes, man.
So we're trying really a couple of sort of budget drams, 40%.
I would say it's not their entry, because their entries are so dirt cheap at the moment. I don't even know what the retails are.
No, but
these.
I mean entry generally in the market. I mean, I think Twisted Vine might be about £25 or something. So
that's, I mean, I was gonna say, that's expensive for Glen Mulray. If you look at the normal ones, like 16, 17 quid in Tesco.
Yeah, okay. So, but it's still a cheaper whiskey, isn't it? It's 40%. It's a bit more interesting. Yeah. So that one's got cognac casks in the mix. And then the Phoenix Rising has...
used bourbon barrels and then brand new... brand new bourbon oak. So
yeah. So we're just trying those as we go through it, and then also these new Warehouse One bottles. I mean, also side note from me, I forgot to mention at Kendall Whiskey Festival, one of my favourite. There were so many good whiskies. I'm pretty sure I forgot to mention the Black Friday Glenkinchy from Whiskey Exchange, 15-year-old, which is still available, £85, and it's like this classic Lowland profile. And if you read the tasting notes, they are good. but it wouldn't necessarily make you go, I have to buy that.
Yeah.
But having tried it, it's like something you will not have tried for years. It doesn't taste like a modern whiskey. It tastes like an old school whiskey. So
nice.
If you can get hold of a sample of somebody, you really should do to try it, because it's totally different. But if you go around and you try 40 whiskeys and one of them stands out to you that much, and then you're like, wow, that was incredible. And then you forget to mention it, you feel like a bit of a div. So I'm just saying, it was one of the best whiskeys for the festival.
So what are you thinking about this Twisted Vine cognac cask?
I mean, immediately, like, you know, raisins, dry fruit, isn't it? Dry raisins, dried figs.
Still buckets of like custard and stuff on there as well. That tastes higher than 40.
Yeah, I think both of them do actually. This and the Phoenix Rising. This one, lots of tiramisu on the nose. Bittersweet, more of the dried fruit coming through on the palate. Yeah, bittersweet, some tannins.
That is proper sweet and sour, isn't it?
Yeah, sour, I'm not sure. Bittersweet, it's like you get that tannin, that wood spice.
Yeah, it's symphony.
And it finishes on really more sort of, you know, those little coffee biscuits you get.
Oh, Biscoff.
Yeah, Biscoff. Ah, yeah, Biscoff. Now we're talking.
Ah, Biscoff. That was Bisto you were on about there. Biscoff.
That'll be the Biscoff. It finishes on like a Biscoff note. I'm next time at a coffee shop, I'm going to do that.
Biscoff.
That'll be the Biscoff. It just gives me that, more of the dried fruit. It's good. It's very good. But if you're getting it for sort of 22 to 25, I think really it's excellent. But I think you're about to be very excited by the Phoenix Rising.
Phoenix Rising. This is like Harry Potter fans freaking out.
I'll say it so you don't have to. Just mad Bounty chocolate bars on the nose. Just loads of it.
Kinder Bueno in there as well.
Oh, Kinder Bueno, milk chocolate, white chocolate, caramel.
Oh,
I love it.
Bueno and Bounty.
Like, there's like a hint of kind of pepper or spice on there.
Mate, that nose is lovely.
Yeah, and we have to say as well, this is, you know, with thanks to Glenn.
Once again, Glenn
Murray.
Glenn Murray, Steve
Rush.
Glenn Mulray.
Sweet tastings. Yeah.
And Big Steve. I'm gonna create an intro tune for Steve Rush now for his tastings.
Right.
Maybe it's like, we interrupt this broadcast for another Steve Rush.
we interrupt this broadcast for another Steve Rush.
Tweet tasting.
Supply tweet tasting. But seriously, this is excellent.
And mate, I sounded like Yoda just then. But all that goes through, everything on the nose, all those chocolate bars are there. Again, there's a bit of fiery, like ginger or peppery heat in there.
Yeah, there's a bit of fieriness, but I get sort of like, the main thing I get on the palate, and once I noticed it, I couldn't forget it, was just sort of creme brulee, but like really strong on like the caramel side of things.
Are they creme brulee? No. What's the things you get in France, the little in yogurt pots, and you tip them up and they're like a jelly?
Oh, yeah, with the creaminess in there, yeah.
Yeah, and it's got the caramel on top, but it's slightly sour, where it's just tipped over caramel and there's a hint of sour in there. I'm trying to think, they're not creme caramels, are they?
It might be creme caramel. It is creme caramel.
Boom.
Boom, creme caramel.
That's it, yeah. And again, it's got that bitterness in there.
But less than
this one. Yeah, it's not as bitter, but it still makes that ABV, or it makes you feel like there's more of an ABV going on.
You get on the finish, that creme caramel goes right way to the fruit of the finish, as does the milk chocolate and the sort of the coconut taste. It's good.
I'm happy with that.
It's sweeter, this one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you wanted a less sweet one, you go with the cognac cask. If you've got less sweet tooth, you go with the cognac cask. If you've got a sweet tooth, you go with the Phoenix Rising. And I think if you've got a sweet tooth, you would be over the moon with the Phoenix Rising. So, pop quiz for you.
Pop quiz for me.
Pop quiz. I created a pop quiz for you, Mike.
Great.
We haven't done a quiz in a while.
No, I haven't looked silly for, well, I say not for a while, but...
Well, you probably won't look silly. I mean, I wouldn't know the answer to these. Or would I?
Well, we'll see.
So we are about to publish our own article with all of the Scottish distilleries saying how to pronounce them correctly, which is tongue-in-cheek because obviously we get them wrong so much.
Brilliant.
So it's as much anything as for us. But sometimes the reason we say them wrong is deliberately, and sometimes the reason we say them wrong is because we're talking to each other and we're not really engaging our brains. I don't know if you've noticed that if you listen to the podcast.
Duncan is English and I am Welsh.
Yeah. But other than that, it's totally fine. So I think there are 9 Scottish distilleries which were founded before 1800.
Before 1800s?
Yeah. Before 1800. So can you name any of them?
Bowmore.
No.
Blair Athol.
Yes.
Shut up. I just saw it with a B.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's one. Yeah. I think they have to be still active because one. Yeah. I think we're talking about active distilleries here. Right.
Right, so it's going to be everything owned by Diageo, isn't it? Anything old would have been bought out.
Yeah, I should have asked you to guess how many there are, but I didn't really think that through.
I couldn't even tell you now. Seven. Did you say seven? No.
Nine.
Ah, damn it.
I think it's nine active ones that were founded before 1800. Right. Someone's probably going to tell us we're wrong now, but feel free. We'll just turn off replies.
Mortlach.
Oh, no, you're right, it's 10. Beaumont is one. It's 10.
Is it?
Yeah, you're spot. You got two right straight off the bat. Yeah.
Mortlach.
No, I'm going to double check. Oh.
Two right off the bat. Third one. Getting caught.
Hang on. I'm double checking now. I feel like I've just completely missed it. It's become more of an admin quiz for me. Like how bad is my admin? Apparently terrible, right?
A few moments later.
No, you're wrong with Mortlach.
Yeah. Okay, I'm literally going to stick with Diageo. So Talisker.
No.
Diageo.
But you guess. It's great that you guessed Beaumont and Blair Athol. That's great. Well done. You've got two.
Beaumont's old. I wanted to go to like.
I think there's ten. I think there's ten that were founded before 1800. Then
I'm going to be completely guessing anymore. I mean, I'm guessing.
Okay,
now,
so I just tell you then.
Yeah.
Okay, so Toby Morey.
Toby Morey, your mate. He's not that old.
Yeah.
Your mate Toby.
1798. Bal Blair, 1790, I think. Glengarry, 1797. Glen Turret, 1763. Highland Park, 1798. Oban, 1794. Rosebank, 1798. A lot in 1798. It's a popular year. Strathfylde, 1786. And then, yeah, you said Beaumont, well, which is, what was that? 70 was really early.
I was going to say, I thought that was one of the oldest.
Oh, 1779. Yeah. So yeah, it was like, I think there's 10. So if we're wrong, tell us. Yeah.
But are these like the actual dates or is this like the date they officially started?
The date they founded.
With the taxman.
Founding date, I guess. Yeah, I mean.
I also said taxman rather than the taxman. The taxman. Hello. The taxman.
Not sure, but there we go. Like, so anyway, so hey, we will this week roll out our how to pronounce Scottish whiskey distillery names.
Good.
Cheat sheet for morons like us who get it wrong too often. So you don't have to go and watch a YouTube video, which is like 2 minutes long, to find out how to pronounce something. You can just go to one place and see it easily. Right. You're welcome. It'll be on our website, honestandmalt.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I missed out on Blind Jams because...
is that it? Is that the quiz?
Oh, that's a quiz, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mate, you had me stressed. I thought there was more questions coming.
No, that was it.
I'm happy with that.
Small pop quiz. That was
decent.
It.
Happy.
It's just, right. I just thought, you know, because...
Ooh, heartbeat down.
10, I did, you know, you forget how old some of these distilleries are.
Yeah.
And there's 10 founded before 1800. That's amazing, right?
That's ridiculous.
In Scotland. Already way over 200 years old.
Yeah. No wonder Americans love coming to, like, Scotland to visit distilleries.
Was America even founded by 1800? I'm not sure it was. Was it? I mean,
1492. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Right,
fair enough. Yeah.
Thank you, primary school.
Who made apple pie first? Us or them? That was a question once. Americans said to me, they said that they invented apple pie, and I was like, I'm not even sure.
I think
apple pie was invented before your Dutch country was.
I'd say the Dutch.
I think I went safe. I think apple pie was invented before America was even started.
Yeah. You might have shagged it first, like in the films, but
yeah.
Don't think you can go there, bro. Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go, a little pop quiz.
Yes.
So,
nice.
Blind Jams. I missed it, but
I missed it.
Andrew Padwhisky knocked it out of the park, right?
And yeah.
He has the top score in. So, Blind Jams is why the people haven't listened to it is, yeah, ever. Blind Jams is 27, 28 people. I can never remember which one it is.
A few moments later.
So it's 28 people get together and try whiskies at one person. In this case, Andrew Padwhisky has picked. His theme was Wee Beasties, and it turned out they were all 5 years old. And he got the highest score ever.
Yeah. And we're talking like we have drunk some serious whiskey.
See good whiskies, yeah. Including Octomores and like... Hmm.
If you look, Brian does a spreadsheet of everything we've drunk. And like, again, we got £1,000 to spend on 10 bottles, basically, or five different drams. So someone generally will go for like 150, 200 pound bottles and they never score that one. But for him to like nail young whiskey for each one, five years old, and get
he
the
said
best
he hadn't tried
ever.
Any of them, but we tried one of them because we tried the Kalila from Murray McDavid, that 5 year old.
Yeah.
We tried that before and we both thought that was very good. I don't know if I would have scored it a 5 out of 5, but we both said it was very good.
Yeah.
Here's what I thought when I saw the results. These whiskey tastings that people do with 20-minute intervals,
yeah,
maybe they don't lend themselves to older whiskey, which is more complex, more layered generally,
yeah,
more nuanced, could be more delicate. My guess is that these 20-minute formats of tasting where people are furiously typing and smelling and nosing and trying, it's like your brain can only process so many things. Possibly younger whiskey, which is bolder. Oh, these were high ABV whiskies. With, you know, clear, strong tasting notes, might do better. Just saying.
they're gonna retain enough of the initial sort of distillery character. A little bit of wood, not too much. If they've gone into a weird cask, you're still going to get loads of that. So they are just massively punchy.
Or does it suggest that people actually prefer younger whiskey because that's the alternative?
I would say that's a very good point. I think, again, blind tasting is where you are at your best. You don't know. And I've always kind of said there's a cutoff point for sort of whiskey where it starts getting a bit too oaky. Same as in bourbon, after about 7 years is like during your sweet spot for me for bourbon, 7 to 10 years. As soon as you start going over 10, you may as well start chewing wood on some of the places.
I mean, were they all single casks? Because I wonder if that's, because also there's no, if they were, then there's no like blending that's actually gone into it within the distillery.
No, I think there was one blend off the top of my head and then four single casks.
Right.
I'd have to check that, but I think that was the case.
Right. Okay. So four single casks, which still overall was the highest score ever collectively for blind drabs. Maybe there's, you know, it's December. Maybe people were in, you know, spirit of goodwill.
Stop trying to. Angie, he's trying to put you down, mate. I made a comment in the group that I'd just like to add that of the top four, 50% of the people that chose those whiskies are Welsh.
Welsh, yeah. Fair enough.
Just saying.
I mean, it just pushed. I think
Cymru and Beef.
I think I was like the third highest, and then I've got pushed down the order now to about sixth or seventh. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's made me think that when I do tastings for friends that come over, I'm not going to, unless we're going to sit for like an hour with one whiskey, it's going to be young whiskey. I just feel like it's probably wasted. And actually, also when you go to whiskey festivals and you're like trying older whiskeys in like no time, we know there's no point to it. You can't really judge it.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got long enough to let it, you know, sit in air in the glass and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, even if you get your whiskeys out and leave them for ages, you're still processing so much information in a short amount of time. So yeah, I think my hazard guess is probably 20-minute, 15-minute formats work better for younger, bolder whiskies.
What I've taken from that is that you're saying that we should all be drinking NAS cheap whiskey and forget age statements altogether. That's what I've taken.
I mean, it was an excellent tasting from Andrew. Red carpet for you. You know, next time you're going to get flown around on private jet between whatever you need to do for Blind Dram's top work, basically.
Yeah.
That's at Pad Whiskey if you want to follow him. He's very humble. So,
give him a follow. He's a lovely Welsh boy, you'll see. He's from North Wales also. He like talks like this, like sausage rolls. Great.
Is that what he talks like?
I don't actually know, but I think so.
Okay. I guess you can say that because you're from Wales, right?
Yeah, exactly. Can't accuse me of anything.
Can't
cancel me.
No. Not when I'm on the same pod as you, no. I can't. So do you want to try this Glenmurray Warehouse 1 Rioja cask matured for the wine part?
Do you want to start with the peated one?
No, I'd finish on the peated one.
Come on. My banter knows no limits.
Oh, it's just quite bold, isn't it?
Yeah. Loads of char, loads of blackcurrant raspberry.
Lots of blackcurrant. Oh, something else, kind of a plumminess as well. Is there plums in there?
Yeah, definite plum.
Like dark plums.
I haven't had plums in ages. I'm going to buy some.
It's very jammy, isn't it? It's like plum jam.
I'm going to say this nose is a very, very good nose.
There's a lot of vanilla in there.
It's not Christmassy, just make that clear from the off. It's not like a sort of that you normally associate with sherry. Obviously, being Rioja, totally different. It was one of my favourite wines. I love Rioja. So astringent and dry and oaky.
Oh, there's tons of caramel in there as well. Again, loads of it. Like actual like heaps of it. Again, like that creme caramel. Like, but yeah, this time with the plums, blackcurrant, maybe some cherries.
I'm quite excited to get into this one.
Right. I think the nose is fantastic.
Diving in.
Oh, that is hot. Yeah, that's
58.8.
It's quite quite sort of tingly on the palate. I was saying again how much I love the Amarone Warehouse 1 cask and the Oloroso one. You know, wine casks are hit and miss for me. I think the nose is amazing. The palate,
super spicy. Loads of tannins, which you would expect, obviously, from the red wine, from the Rioja. It's quite a tannin sort of oaky wine. So
there's sort of dirtiness on the palate, isn't there?
I really like this.
Is that the sort of like cigar-y typeness or something on the palate?
I'd say there's more cigar at the finish. There's definite tobacco with a bit of like coffee.
Kind of dries out, doesn't it?
Yeah, really astringent at the back.
Yeah, and then maybe a bit of like coffee ground cigar, like that type of thing, like on the finish.
It goes back to that thing we just said. Like, this is not a 20-minute whiskey. This is not one you want to just be like, boom. You want to chill out with these stronger
ones. You definitely
want
to sit and sniff this one for a while because the nose is fantastic. So, main topic of the pod today, Stairway to Heaven. No Stairway, denied. Have you watched Wayne's World? I assume you have.
No Stairway, denied.
Denied.
Mate, Wayne's World. Again.
One of the greatest films ever made. Like the bit when he speaks in like Chinese to Cassandra. And he's just speaking it like fluently.
Yeah.
That is like peak.
Game on.
I know.
There's just
it's one
so
of the best films ever
many
made.
Things
it just, it's,
through
it's,
that film. It's my
what
childhood.
It is, it's basically like stand-up comedy in the sense that there's no gaps between the jokes. Yeah. It's just joke after joke after joke. And yet they tell a story through it. I think it's probably one of the finest bits of comedy ever made. People have their favourite comedy films, but you never really find anyone hates it, right? No one hates that film.
I can't eat a sugared jam donut without picturing Garth making them like a monster in the canteen or the cafe, whatever
it's just,
it is.
It's just like endless. Like when they're in the car and he's going to chunder and he's like, if you're going to throw up and that. And he like gets his tiny little bag out and hides in a tiny little bag. It honestly, it's completely endless. Like it's like flawless filmmaking.
Yeah.
And in the film, obviously they go into a music shop and they want to play Stairway to Heaven. He starts playing it and then they tell him,
doom.
No Stairway.
Denied.
Stairway
denied.
Exactly. So we, I'll state my position on it. We, I've said to Mike a while ago, we should do an episode, which is like Stairway to Heaven, where basically we are imagining that we've passed and we are going to heaven. And
what we've done, we've gone to a whiskey festival, we've got too tipsy, and we've fallen down a well.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to the last episode, then 600 and just shy of 700,000 people die every year from falling over. So it's completely nightly. Yeah.
Yes.
So we've fallen down a well, or we just tripped on the pavement because, you know, we couldn't see over our giant pizza box that we're having afterwards, you know, and before you know it, you're on your way to heaven. Now, I'm not religious at all, but I've lived in loads of countries and I've seen all kinds of religions. If you're religious, much respect to you, much respect to your religion, whichever one it is, whichever God you are into, whichever building or facility you go to, good on you. But I am not. So when we do this...
Whichever building or facility.
You go to on a regular basis, totally up to you, with whichever person dressed in whatever get up.
You sound like AI trying to talk about religion.
I'm just saying.
I'm trying desperately not to offend anyone.
I'm not religious, but I've obviously seen loads of religion. I mean, India, Malaysia. In India, you've got like you know, Hinduism, Malaysia. I've seen Buddhism in like Thailand. And you've got like, oh my gosh, there's all these variances. In South Korea, they had this really, we went to this massive church. And they have this like one of the biggest Christian churches in the world. I think it has like the biggest Christian audience and stuff. All these religions around the world. And there's all these gods. I think there's like, how many gods are there in like Indian culture? There's like 30,000 or something. Like in Christianity, it's like one. So my point is, I have a perspective on religion and I believe that religion has an importance to people, but I am not religious. No. What about you, Mike?
So I was raised Roman Catholic. And then
that nose.
Yeah, I mean, well, to be fair, like, it's got to be Roman, hasn't it? That's what.
Yeah.
Monty Python.
I've got Roman nose as well.
They made jokes about this schnoz.
Yeah, it's the
biggest dickus. Yeah, is massive. Well, that's, to be fair, that's from rugby where I got good story. I got headbutted. and then,
so, well, great story start when you get headbutted.
Yeah, I got headbutted and my nose shot left and it was so out of line. Like, it was disgusting. But then about a month later, I'd give a little sly shot to someone at the side of a scrum, but then got stuck and I couldn't move my arms. And the guy who I'd given him a sly little headbutt, he got up and just punched me square in the nose.
Nudged him with your face. Don't say headbutt.
But he straightened it. Completely straightened it again.
Oh, he straightened you out, did he?
So, yeah, I got like a lot of movement in my nose, but it's straight. But yeah, that little lump is rugby, not Italian, Roman heritage. So, anyway, so,
enough about headbutting people.
Raised Roman Catholic, but now as atheist as they come. I think the only faith I have is the faith in backing myself.
That's it. Faith no more. I'm not even christened, actually, because my nan tried to christen me. She brought back holy water from an undisclosed country. She brought it back and she wanted to christen me.
She went to Lourdes, didn't she?
My parents, my dad said, it's up to him. He can decide when he gets older. And so they said no. So I'm actually not christened, even officially in a proper building / facility or in someone's lounge. I'm not being christened. So yeah.
I love. Clearly, was it Lourdes where she went to get the life?
No, it was a country. I won't mention the name of the country. So,
why would you not mention the name of the country?
It's super political at the moment. So anyway, point is,
you tried your Russian Orthodox water.
Holy water from Jerusalem, Mike. That's from Jerusalem. Oh. Jerusalem holy water, right?
Can still talk about religion. You don't have to bring it to that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So neither of us are really religious. So when you listen to this, understand that we are fully respectful of whatever religion you are into. But we are talking about this more in a sort of tongue-in-cheek fashion, which is just that at some point we will die. And it would be kind of nice if there was a literal stairway that went up that you walked up to. And we think in a whiskey sense, I put to you, like, you've got to get into heaven. There's supposed to be someone on the gates. So who do we think is going to be on the whiskey gates?
The whiskey gates to heaven.
Well, to get into whiskey heaven, right?
Yeah, to get to whiskey heaven, there's only two people that could possibly be the guardians of such a job.
The guardians.
And that's Roy and Ralphie. I think two stalwarts in the whiskey world, YouTube and podcasting and everything else.
Flat cap ambassadors, protectors of bins.
Sorting out massive curries for people in Glasgow. Yeah, I think that there was only ever two contenders to protect those pearly whiskey gates. And it's it's those two gentlemen.
Well, maybe. Someone's on the gates. Mike is proposing it's Roy and Ralphie.
Yeah.
I assume dressed as angels, but, you know, I mean, they have to be in some sort of get-up.
There has to be angels, I think.
Angel get-up for Ralphie with a flat cap on.
As you come up, first of all, you got to get past Ralphie, and he's in his boffy just outside the gates, chilling out. So you got to knock on his door and ask him what's happening if you're allowed in. If you can convince Ralphie that you've experienced enough, you've tasted enough whiskey, you haven't been suckered into this, that, and the other,
he
might let you on. Then you sort of, as you get past the bothy, Roy's putting the bins out and he's doing his recycling reviews.
He's by the bins, yeah.
And he wants to know what the last few drams are.
He just says, oh, still a bit left in this one. Do you want to re-nosh on that?
Yeah, there's still a bit left in. There's three quarters. Get it down, or you're not coming in.
I've got a Glenken here. Do you want to have a wee bit on that? All right, Roy. I actually am trying to get into heaven at the moment. I wasn't up for a whiskey tasting.
Roy's been the sort of the final gatekeeper to go, right, okay, you might have done all this in your past, you know, but what are your most recent whiskey experiences? And I think that's where you're gonna get judged on what you've drunk recently, what you've opened and finished. So if you've got those shelves of Springbank left,
shelves of closed
Springbank,
you're not getting in.
Macallan 10s you've never opened because you're keeping them for a rainy day.
1980s and 1990s Macallan 10s.
You've fallen down a well. You're not coming in. So
because they will know. That's it. They see you all.
That's how I picture the gates. I think. Yeah. Is that? Have you got any other versions in your head?
This is about whiskey sins, isn't it? Basically. Yeah. So let's start with you then, because it's safer for me.
Let's start with you, because you're bound to have messed up.
No, let's start with you. Right. So what are your whiskey sins then?
My whiskey sins.
Because they're going to know them. And then what I'm thinking is, you're going to have to bar with something to offset your whiskey sins.
Obviously, it's doing tastings two at a time when I shouldn't be, hence the nickname. Trying to double up. I feel like
you're double tastings.
I'm doubling down on tastings.
That's such a safe subject for you, though, isn't it? The double tastings. We would know about that. There must be some other whiskey sin going on.
Whiskey sin? I mean,
I scratched off some, you know, I buy a lot of these Springbanks. And when they've written their name on the label and they've, and two of them said, Mike, I'm just saying.
And
I could tell the handwriting was slightly Welsh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it had dragon tails on the end of the Y's.
Just on the end of the E was a dragon's tail, yeah.
I mean, whiskey sins, I haven't really got a great deal. I do...
Got a lot of open bottles,
my sins, it's too many open bottles and not finishing them. And I think I don't share enough whiskey as much as I should.
Right.
I'm open to it, but I can't get over the fact that if I'm going to send you something, you've got to send me something back. I'm quite needy in two ways, like sample swapping.
Right.
But if anyone comes to my house, by all means, drink my collection. I've got no care.
Game on!
Have you ever not sent samples to somebody in return? Because I've had that happen to me twice. I feel like those people would, you know.
It's possible. Maybe three times now, actually. I may have. And I think, maybe not immediately. If I find out I've done it, I try and correct it. So I remember... forgive me, I can't remember the name of the chap I sent it to, but like I realized he'd sent me some samples. I went, yeah, tell me what you want and I'll get you something sent out. And I'd sent him, or I had some Glendronach 18, the old ones with the extended ages. And I was like, yeah, I'll get you some of that, I'll get you some of this, blah, 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 chat. And then never got around to it. And I was like, literally going through the whiskey cabinet and I was like, oh, I haven't tasted that Glendronach. Oh, no. So I had to go back into my messages and find out where he was and get him a sample. So yeah, I don't think I overtly like try and get samples and not send anything back, but I am quite forgetful. Like,
you do drink quite a lot of our whiskey tumblers, don't you? I don't know, you know, if that's up everyone's street.
Nothing wrong with tumblers, mate. We've covered this. Hashtag whiskey tumbler or tumbler club. It's getting widely used. I see it more and more, which is good. It makes me laugh. I've got a little passion for tumblers. I like a nice crystal tumbler. I have said before, whiskey sin. Okay, here's a whiskey sin. I may acquire whiskey glasses from bars and hotels and things when I stay there. So if I go to like a swanky hotel,
theft.
It's not theft. It's included in the room.
It's glass.
I'm like Ross from Friends.
Well, make sure you wrap it in. Make sure you wrap it in one of those hotel towels, Mike.
No, you've got to wrap it in a hotel dressing gown.
That's
the only way.
Yeah. Use the slippers as separators.
Yeah. Without getting poignant, generally, the only time I get to go out and have a good drink at like my friends back home I grew up with is when someone dies. So it's at funerals and things. Mm. So if I'm going back or if I'm going somewhere specifically to get like messy drunk, which funerals are always going to end up, I try and get myself into like a nice hotel so I don't have to bother my family or anything. I can get in whatever state I want to get in and cry myself to sleep. But I'll always try and acquire a tumbler from that hotel and I will always keep it and go, right, that's so-and-so's glass. That's so-and-so's glass. So I always think of them when I have a whiskey. So it's a sin, but it's a good sin.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it comes with a hotel cost if you're paying like 5-star hotel price to get smashed.
They price it in.
Yeah, it's included.
So your only sins really are your love of tumblers, being too nice. So lame.
My sins are loving my friends too.
Doing more than one tasting on an evening.
Yeah.
Glass theft.
No. It's not glass theft, it's included. I have a reasonable belief that it's included in the price of my hotel.
Okay, all right. A penchant for taking the glasses which you were allowed to take within the room price at a hotel.
Yes, correct.
What about closed bottles? Everyone's got some closed bottles. I have.
I'm sat on some Bimbers.
Yeah, I mean that's fine.
I'm a founder member, so I've got like the founder bottlings and the first releases and stuff.
Have you got anything you say? I'll open this if this happens.
Well,
I feel like, you know, there might be one of the questions. It might be one of the sort of thoughts on the gates, right? So you should have really opened that. You know, you've tripped and fallen down a well, and you haven't got to try that.
Yeah,
you know, because this is about whether you're going to go to whiskey heaven or whiskey hell, right?
But I think I have got a bottle that I said I would open when I had my first kid, and that's obviously now been and gone, and I'm not opening it because
I mean, that's not what it is.
Yeah. It's not even that good. It's just like, I think everyone should have a whiskey.
1982 Jura.
1982 Milton Duff.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So it's just like nice old whiskey. I think I bought it when it was 33 years old. So it's got a bit of age to it. I have bought a sample of it, which I still haven't drank. That sample is somewhere in my room because I always end up taking a load of samples to hotels and stuff when I stay away with work or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I always take it with me. I was like, I'm gonna enjoy that at some point. But yeah, just never got around to it. So it's not like I'm holding on to it for a specific reason, but it's kind of like it's gone past the point of me being that bothered about opening it. Now, it seemed like a really like big thing and a big idea at the time. But now I'm like, yeah, you can look what Andrew's done. I can get 5-year-old whiskey that's decent. So I'm just going to be disappointed.
So just leave it all closed.
Leave
just
it closed.
Just buy the 5-year-old stuff. Yeah.
Just stick to Wee Beastie and drink nothing else.
So is that the bottle then you're going to use to barter yourself in then? Because obviously if
I'll go look, Roy.
What was Milton Duff?
Milton Duff, 1982. I've already snuck past Ralphie with my collection of open. He's happy with that. I've drunk enough. To Roy, I'm going to have to go, mate, here's a gift for you. Here is a 1982 Milton Duff. I didn't get around to it because it just lost its appeal over time. It wasn't as special. So I'll gift you this if you can let me into those pearly gates. That's where I'm at.
Right, okay.
How about you? Come on. You must have a long line of whiskey sins.
Have I?
I reckon
there's... I feel like you didn't get enough of a kick in for your hate on Jura. And what's the other distillery you always anti?
I'm pretty much only anti-Jura, I think.
I don't know. Like, I mean, same thing. I mean, I drink out of all different types of glassware. I mean, I know that Ralphie is quite specific about how you hold a glass. So I feel like I'd probably get in trouble for how I hold glasses.
Would you?
So when I'm in a bothy, he'd probably, there'd be a bit of a dressing down about the way I hold glasses. Yeah, I can hold them however I want. Sometimes by the base, sometimes by the stem, sometimes I cup them. So
there's a possibility you're not even getting past Ralphie in the bothy.
I may not get past Ralphie, yeah. Plus, I might also be wearing a flat cap when I go up the stairs, so I'm probably also in trouble for that.
It's mimicking.
I almost wore a flat cap to Kendall.
Did you? I really like a flat cap. I think you've said it before. It really
suits my face.
It suits my head, like my receding hairline.
It's one of those things, though. Like, it's like you can't have everyone wearing flat caps because like people aren't wearing them. People are wearing them sort of fashion rather than practical.
Unless you're at a farmer's convention and then it's
exactly
game on.
Right. But if you're at a whiskey convention, you can't all be wearing flat caps. Otherwise, you're just all copying each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
for example, say you've managed to. You've had a lesson, you've been taught how to hold a glass and you promise not to do it again. You then go to...
I'm trying to think if I get picked for anything else in the...
What else are you going to...
Well...
I think you've got past... If you can accept that you're wrong and you've been holding a glass wrong,
right,
and you're willing to learn from that...
Too risky fashion, maybe a bit noncy at times... Okay.
Or maybe you swirl it too much.
Is noncy right? Poncy? Maybe poncy's a better
Poncy,
word.
Not noncy.
Daft.
I'll edit that out.
You edit that out, yeah.
I might leave it in because that's hilarious.
My dad used to say that, yeah.
Completely different meaning.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah. Just been drinking too much whiskey with Jimmy Savile. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm going to have to edit that bit.
Gary, me and Gary Glitter on our whiskey binging sessions
in Thailand. So you've got past Ralphie. You've admitted your sins. You've been forgiven. You've moved on. You are now facing Roy.
I mean, generally, I'm good at opening bottles and stuff, so I think like they'd be positive at that. Obviously, I've got a bit of a collection, so I just won't worry if that would be weighing at all. I have a penchant for collecting 1996 Ben Nevis.
How many have you got?
Well, that's a few.
Go on. No, come on.
I don't know. 10-ish, maybe 3 open.
You got 10 bottles of it?
What's it? Various IBs and stuff like that. Maybe
okay, I thought you meant one specific bottle.
No. I've got maybe 3 open. And, okay. I've got,
so you're not stopping whiskey sharing for everyone else?
I've got a bit of that. And I've also got quite into sort of Tamdu single casks. So I've got some of those.
Oh, Sorry, was that? You should have said I'd have paused and played the sponsorship message from Tamdu. Yeah. You should have said.
But the point is that probably more of them should be open. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's guilty of that. I mean, you do well. I think we both do well at opening stuff. Yeah. It can never be said we don't open things. So, yeah, I think that's fine. But bottle kills, if we had to look at your
how are they going to judge that? I mean, is it good or bad to have killed a lot of bottles?
What are your last... Do you know your last three bottle kills?
No, I couldn't even remember.
Last one.
Feels like a test now. I've actually outsourced my whiskey drinking to the
AI.
Yeah, and they just drink the whiskey for me now. It's just cheaper. I don't know what the last one was like. I finished off. I'm trying to remember.
Look at this pressure. You're buckling under pressure. It makes me think there's secrets.
I didn't know the question was going to be so intense.
Roy's going to let you through.
Is this Roy asking me this question now?
Yeah.
It's like a pop quiz on the gate. What was the last bottle you killed?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Maybe you're not going to get into let into heaven just for lack of clarity of thought.
He might be radioing downstairs to say we got one coming down here.
So this one's
he's a blagger. He's a blagger.
I think the closest bottle I've got to bottle killing at the moment is that the Master Malt 12-year-old. That's the one that's closest. My memory's probably clearer about the ones that are near to going rather than the ones that have gone. Actually, I think the last bottle was a Scallywag. Now I come to think of it. I think the last bottle was a Scallywag.
I think you're sailing through, mate. I think
you think so.
Nothing wrong with the Scallywag. Decent whiskey.
Decent blended malt.
Yeah. No bells and whistles. It's just nice whiskey. Your dad would say nice.
So what you're saying is you're sort of only as good as your sort of last sort of dram, how authentic it is.
Yeah. Right?
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Judge? What have you actually drunk? What have you finished?
Right. Well, a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be so standoffish on the gates there.
It's a serious, and like the entry standards are high.
Right. Yeah.
But I think from... You've shown you're a man of the people with the Scallywag. You've done a good, solid selection. And I reckon, speaking on behalf of Roy, I would be stepping aside and letting you in.
Well, my next bottle kill, might well be a bottle of Phoenix Rising if I buy a bottle, because that would go very quickly. Should we try the peated one?
Let's go and ruin the palate!
Let's ruin the palate. So clear it with some water, some dark chocolate. Top tip, dark chocolate.
Oh, mate. Milky Way stars.
This is on a campfire. Is this the same? This is Rioja cask finish as well. It's just a different year. So this is 2012 and the other one's 2015.
And with Pete.
Yeah.
You don't have to drink it with somebody called Pete. That is strictly optional.
It's sort of caramel toffee again. More toffee maybe.
What is that in there? Milky Way stars. You know, they're like chocolate, but there's like a hint of sweetness.
Very milky chocolate.
Sweetness, like soury sort of note that you get in Milky Way stars.
It's a sort of gentle smoke, isn't it? It's not...
Barely picking up on any smoke, but I think because again, the last
what's all that sweetness in the nose? What are you getting there? That's really sweet.
It's almost like perfume.
Yeah, like you're right, kind of like a perfume sweetness.
But it doesn't hit you initially. It's like in the background, red grape.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's bloody red wine. What the f*** are you on about? Did we just say that?
Yeah. Red grapes.
Decent. Well done, dickheads.
Red grapes.
Red wine's got to be red grape, innit?
Red grape. A little bit of smoke. Yeah, loads of sweetness. Yeah.
That genuinely just shows that the flavours do translate down. What a pair of idiots we are.
There's a lot of crossover between the sort of Riocas. That kind of cigar note for me is there on both of them on the finish.
Yeah.
It's just that this one has peat. Yeah.
So I wonder if tannin in wines kind of then shows itself as a cigar-y sort of note within whiskey.
The fruit comes back right on the finish that sort of keeps going.
Oh, mate, I like this.
Maybe a bit of peach on the finish. Like really, it's peach and peat and tobacco. Sort of cigar,
that sounds like cigar a modern smoke. Essex couple on holiday in Marbella. Oh, we've got to check in. My name's Peach and this is Pete.
It's Peach and Pete. Peach and Pete. Pete likes smoking a cigar Peach, well, she likes to drink whiskey because this is 2023, right?
No, no offence to anyone from Essex. Sorry, Steve. I know you live there now.
Well.
Really good. Different. Really different.
Yeah, super interesting to see them side by side. And actually, this one's not that peated. Don't know what the PPM is or any of that kind of stuff, but it's easy to go from that one back to another whiskey. It's not heavily peated at all. It's maybe lightly peated. Yeah, lightly peated. I was trying to think if I've committed any other whiskey sins, really, other than holding glasses badly. I mean,
would you say whiskey sin? Again, are you to novices? I don't think you are.
Oh well,
do you preach?
I chucked up after Kendall when I got home outside. I mean, that's a waste of good whiskey, right?
Well, no, because you did enjoy it.
I never spittoon at festivals. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, really.
No, anyone that spittoons is not getting through those gates, mate. Okay. Let's be honest.
Okay.
No. Well, in fact, just next to Roy, so you've got these recycling bins, right. And then there's a giant spittoon, and it's like those big slides things you get at the like swimming parks,
and then you just
and it spins you round down to hell, or whatever version of that you believe.
Yeah.
It's a giant spittoon to
hell,
the nether
the
regions.
Entrance to hell is a spittoon.
Yeah. Yeah, I use them all the time. Get down.
Yeah. And you're on your way. Yeah. Do you think are they wearing lanyards when you approach them? Possibly. I get the fact that Ralphie's in his bothy, definitely.
No, I'm picturing like a
probably like a 15-minute like Ralphie like the bothy on the bothy rules of the rules of whatever happens next, right?
The bothy has had like a 15-minute makeover. They've come in, they've painted everything. There's not a hint
white.
Of ash. There's
just white.
Just gleaming white. They've sanded and barrels like looking nice and crisp.
White flat cap. He's in a gold suit.
Yeah. Gold tooth.
One gold tooth.
Yeah. And beautiful. I think, yeah, I'm picturing Roy with a harp floating over the bins.
Gold clink Kens. It's glittery ones.
Gold tumblers.
They won't be drinking out tumblers.
Might.
Roy's by the gold bins. Love it.
Yeah. Decent. Yeah.
Well, I don't think. I mean, I try to think if there's any sort of serious whiskey sins. I used to be really into Jura, but I don't know if that's a sin.
It's a sin to me, but I think
superstition and.
I like how that. By the way, that reputation is also going now. I was getting tagged in Jura posts, going, "Ha, you take this." It's like, yeah, I would.
No, well, there we go. So we're both in agreement. We're both going to get into whiskey heaven, right?
Yeah. You know, well, I think...
I overwhelmingly have
I think
more open
you
bottles.
Would be given a pass, obviously. You
what I do collect is in a specific lane. It's not just general nonsense, yeah. Right?
You're not just collecting Springbank, is what you're saying?
No. I mean, I've got a couple of Bimbers, but I mean, I've got a couple of them. But yeah, if I really get stuck, then I'll offer them the 1972 Cabernet that I'm saving for a special occasion.
Access denied.
I'll crack that straight open, 39-year-old. There you go. In you go, yeah. Whiskey heaven.
You share it. Get in that, boys. Get that down your pasty gums.
G and M.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Job done. We are both getting to whiskey heaven, decided by us behalf of two people that can't speak for themselves.
Yes.
So because they're not on the pod. So
no.
Pat on the back for both of us.
There you go. Thank you for listening and follow us in all the usual places on social media at Honest for Malt. Follow Duncan at Whiskey Tip, myself at Whiskey Wings, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye, bye, bye.